Good morning, lads. How are you, Jerry and Owen?
You start the day with a good energy.
Good morning, Jerry and Owen. How are we doing, lads?
Yeah, good.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
There's no f***ing filler.
Every time we look at Aston Villa, they're just signing a new extension or a new contract with Unai Emery.
They just like to do this.
I genuinely thought that this was old news. The more times he does it, the better, John.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Mev DeMarco, good morning to you.
Morning.
How are you doing?
Good, all good now.
So we're looking ahead to the doubleheader against Sweden. Obviously the first one tonight at the Aviva, 7:30. And because we're in League A, to remind everybody that we will get a playoff place regardless of what happens, the top two will go through to the Euros next year. But I think regardless for us, it's fair enough to say that's not really the goal. But a scalp somewhere along the line will be nice to build momentum and create buy-in for Eileen and the grand plan, I suppose.
Definitely, yeah. And I think if you're going to take a scalp tonight, might be our best chance of that.
Really? You know? Okay.
Yeah, I think Sweden are even missing a few players tonight. Zina Blackstenius up front and Amanda Ilestead as well, centre-back. Both actually play with Katie at Arsenal, so they're two big losses. So I think, you know, we will have confidence as well. We did play them in the last qualifying, you know, for the World Cup as well, and got good results. So I think, yeah, hopeful anyways.
Not great when a team that finished third at the World Cup is your main hope of getting points, is it?
I know, yeah. But, you know, like you said, that's what we're up against now. You know, we wanted to be, you know, we didn't want to be competing against teams that were lower ranked than us. And it's a great opportunity if we are to get to the Euros to play in these types of teams, because the majority of the teams at the Euros will be ranked higher than us anyway. So I think it's just really good preparation in the hope that we will get to them next summer.
Yeah. And they have a lot of injuries, and we've done well against them before.
That's it. I think that's the big thing. Like, I think back to 2022, I'm going to say now, in Gothenburg, I was at that game and a draw that night, and the confidence around the players that, you know, obviously how highly ranked Sweden are, to get that result was massive. It felt like a turning point. Do you think they might take confidence that we have done it? Obviously, they qualified for a World Cup and played in a World Cup since then, but that they've done it before. They've got a result.
Definitely. I mean, and that draw was the first time, I think, in 12 years that Sweden had failed to win a home. So, I mean, like, if that doesn't give you confidence, then I don't know what will. So, yeah, I think, like I said, we kind of, they're a known quantity to us. You know, we know what we're up against. And, yeah, they did have an incredible World Cup. I mean, to finish third, you can't really take them lightly. But at the same time, I think we're kind of coming into a good run of form. Well, not run of form, but I think that we're have had decent enough performances in the last two games in the last window. So hopefully we can kind of bring that bit of momentum. And just, I think what's going to be key is just to have a good start, because we did concede early in the last two games. So hopefully we can kind of eradicate those mistakes early on.
It sort of felt like, with the tightness of the results in the group up to this point from an Irish point of view, that like there were kind of shots to nothing anyway. And if you'd end up actually losing 3 or 4 nil, then everybody would have said, well, listen, fair enough, the best couple of teams in the world, a couple of the best teams in the world, and sure, you know, you can write that stuff off. But now, like you're saying, for the reasons that you've outlined, maybe there's a bit more expectation tonight, which cranks up the pressure a bit. And then you add in the fact that McCabe is coming back after all this sort of, you know, not ideal preparation, let's say, and there is a big conversation around whether Denise Sullivan will even play or not. You're giving her the nod. I see a lot of papers this morning are not. It'll be interesting to see.
It will be, yeah. It's going to be a tough one to know, kind of, if is it just, are they kind of keeping their cards close to their chest, and will she play or won't she play? We don't know. I mean, she hasn't played since a few weeks ago. I think she came off in one of her club games and didn't play since then. So I think it's going to be, yeah, it'll be touch and go with her. And I think she is kind of pivotal for us there, you know, especially going forward, trying to kind of link up the defence to attack. I think we've kind of maybe limited number of players who are gifted in that sense. So I think she's a huge player. But regards to Katie, I think she should be fine, hopefully. I mean, it's been, yeah, 7 days, and she's all the kind of support around her now, you know, to recover from that. But it's a difficult one, because we're already kind of going on about how the calendars are already full and player welfare and that. And I suppose that game just wasn't ideal. You know,
it was crazy, wasn't it? Like, she kind of said as much herself before she had to sort of row into line afterwards, but bonkers.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They kind of, there had been a lot of limelight on it and spotlight, I suppose, on it, you know, especially with all the injuries that we're seeing now in the women's game, that, you know, we're just not, I suppose the female game isn't as advanced as the men's game at the moment. So you know, having the same kind of schedule load, just I don't think is fair on the players. But yeah, it's something that has to be looked at. But I suppose just the commercial value is so lucrative for Arsenal, and that's the way the women's game is going now as well, you know, in terms of, we wouldn't really bat an eyelid if it was a men's team going over there. But now it's just, it's something that we're not used to, I think, seeing in the women's game, and something we're going to see more and more of, because that commercial value and endorsements and everything is really valuable to women's players. I mean, Alex Morgan would make more off Instagram than she does playing football, like, so it's kind of, it is becoming a huge thing in the women's game, I think.
When we mentioned Denise O'Sullivan there, so you reckon that she will start?
I don't really have any inside info, but I don't know. I suppose I'm hoping that she will. I mean, yeah, it is hard to see it though, because I think she was on, they were saying, a modified training plan and doing her own thing. So I don't know how much involved she was with the team training, and if that's happening, you know, the day before a game, it's maybe not that likely. Maybe it's just hope rather than head in that case. I don't
know. And if she doesn't make it to start tonight, who do you think will be in midfield?
I think maybe last time out, you know, Rushid Littlejohn started in midfield and Megan Connolly came on at half time, so it could be a case of the two of them maybe starting. And then, you know, we have the likes of Tyler Toland in there as well, and Jessu has played in there you know, in the recent friendlies as well. So we have options, but yeah, like I said, Denise would definitely be a big loss, but it's the one thing that we do have now is we're getting more depth in the squad, so hopefully we'd be okay even if she doesn't start.
Who do you go with?
I think I would probably, probably start with maybe Littlejohn and Connolly in there. Connolly did well when she came on, and then Rusha can always do a job in there. It's just, I think she's kind of nursing an injury all season with her Achilles, so she probably would be fit enough, I'd imagine, to start. But whether you get 90 out of her, I don't know. But like I said, yeah, maybe the likes of Tyler Toland, who we haven't seen much feature much actually in the last few games, but it'd be good to have. Jessu missed the last camp as well, so it'd be good to have her back. She might start maybe instead of Heather Payne, who's out injured on the right there. So
plenty of options. And Leanne Kiernan has been such what would you say, like, warm story even over the last few weeks, and she's a player who's obviously struggled with her own injuries at times. She's a player who, I remember going to see her years ago, was a qualifier in Norway 7 or 8 years ago, I think, and Colin Bell was the manager, and she was having to play a role that she was, even from a body language point of view, very clearly not delighted about up front, very sort of isolated on her own. So it's been a long period of time there where it's been difficult for her to be a starter who can get in and get goals. She started to do that for her club now in a big way. Do you think, is there a possibility, actually I'm not sure what age she is, but is there a possibility that we're about to see the flourishing of Leanne Kiernan?
I think so, hopefully, and hopefully if she can get a run, you know, an injury-free run as well. It's kind of been a lot of a stop-start.
Yeah.
A couple of years for her, and, you know, unfortunately missing the World Cup too would have been a big thing for her, but she's definitely does seem to have kind of come into a little bit of run of form now, to scored a hat-trick in her last game as well. So
yeah,
it would be good to see her get some more minutes. Her minutes have been kind of limited, and maybe when she's come on, hasn't maybe had the same impact, just because we are so defensive as well against these teams. It's hard, because obviously she's such an attacking threat. That's definitely where her strength lies. But yeah, we could see her, you know, like Caruso does a good job up front holding it up, but I think Leanne offers that different, you know, the pace in behind and that. So I think she could definitely be a good option, you know, when the Swedes tired, or even on the right as well. She's operated there recently as well. So,
but is it one or the other, or like what system should we set up? So if we have a player that's scoring goals, my instinct is do whatever that they're doing at club level and get her to get that set up as repeatable as possible. What's the best setup for her?
Yeah, I think even up front as the number nine, I know she hadn't she has played there a fair bit, and that's where she kind of played for Liverpool as well, coming on recently in the games. And I don't think Eileen will kind of veer away from Caruso up front. I don't know.
She likes how strong she is, and she can hold the ball. I think how Ireland stared as well.
Yeah.
Which is a pity for Leanne, because, four goals in the last three games, she's on a high.
Yeah.
You want that player in there.
Definitely, yeah. But I do see, I kind of find it hard to see that she would start her tonight. But but definitely, if you bring her on after, you know, early on in the second half, or after 90 minutes or 60 minutes even, you know, I think she could really have an impact tonight.
Even listening to her talking to Kathleen during the week, she just cut this more relaxed. She was openly talking about she really enjoys the vibe under Ilo. I had to replay that one a few times to figure out exactly who they were talking about. Have you been in that sort of place in your career before, where you're moving from club and country and, like, listen, nobody talks about it, you know, under a different regime. You know, you're never going to in that moment sort of start talking about I'm not really enjoying coming into either club or country, but then afterwards it's like, all right, that seems obvious now. Had you gone through phases like that in your career before?
Yeah, I think so. And I think maybe injuries as well has a lot to do with it. You're kind of, you could be a bit down, you know, when you're not kind of been able to perform at your best then as well. And like that, we just already say she's gone through it. So yeah, and I think as well, it's kind of, you know, opinions as well. Managers have certain opinions on you. Maybe she's getting game time under one manager and not under another manager for no, even maybe not even any change of form, just change of opinions. And that's what sport's all about, really. But yeah, definitely it's something to factor in. And she does seem really kind of full of confidence now. And I think that's really important, particularly in that position as a striker. Mm. You need to be confident to be able to take chances. And hopefully she might take one tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. I just looked it up there. She's 25 and just gone 25. Okay. So you would think maybe she's coming into her own.
Yeah.
But do we get the best out of her in Irish jersey? I don't think I've fully seen it yet.
Mm. No, I think there's definitely more to come from her. And yeah, hopefully now it's kind of the start of it. Maybe yeah, that she can kind of hit a run of form after bringing in that club form, hopefully, to the country as well. And yeah, it's like I said, it's the age to really peak. I think kind of the mid-20s. No, we can't say she's too young anymore, but she definitely has plenty of kind of the young ones around her as well. And I think, yeah, Jessu should be an interesting one to see tonight. Hopefully she'll be back as well, because she did, she had a hamstring problem last camp. So hopefully we might see her get on the pitch as well.
Very good technical player.
Brilliant,
obviously.
Yeah.
Megan Campbell was in with Nathan during the week, giving him sort of an A to Z of why her throw is her throwing is so good.
Yeah,
and can't remember the exact hyperextension, something.
That was the term,
but anyway. Like, we needed to hear she has something.
Yeah, exactly,
to all of us.
Yeah. And it's impressive, and it gets the crowd going, doesn't it?
Like, yeah, it's,
you
really
know,
does.
In a way that, like, I don't know if emotional decisions come into these things when you're sort of picking a team for tonight, but like, there must be a temptation to get her in there from the off. And I mean, it doesn't matter, any throw in inside the halfway line, you're like, right, we're in here.
Yeah, they are, like, they're set pieces, you know, in their own right. And even when, you know, we'd be training them, that they're trained as part of it. Like, you know, you do corners, free kicks, and then Megan's throws, like,
separate, you know,
exactly. Like, because they are, like, I think they're better than corners. Like, I've seen teams, you know, I would expect them, like, if I was Sweden, I'd be conceding a corner rather than a throw tonight, you know, which is really unusual. You're never, like, it's the last thing you're told to do is kick it out for a corner. But definitely it's just the trajectory it comes in at, and it's kind of when it's angled towards the goal, it's hard to stop. Mm. And like she said, she has thrown a few into the goal.
I've seen that a few times.
Luckily, if keepers are aware, they could just jump out the way, rather than trying to save it and potentially conceding. So yeah, it really, like the last night, you know, when we played England, the first throw, like, there was, I've never seen really energy been lifted like that. You know, obviously when a sub comes on, it can energise the crowd, but those throws are kind of, especially the best part is seeing people, you know, watched for the first time, and their reactions, you know, it's, you can hear the gasps kind of.
Yeah. I felt that night as well. We hadn't maybe created an awful lot, and then suddenly there was like this major threat. When you're practicing a throw, like a total different set piece like that, so there's a difference between her taking a throw and, let's say, just inside the halfway line or much further up the pitch in terms of, I suppose, you mentioned trajectory that comes into it. Mm-hmm. So is there a different planning attack for depending on what area of the pitch she gets to throw in?
Yeah, that's the thing. And you need to kind of just, you need to know the distance. Like, it isn't always, like she said, even herself, that sometimes the adrenaline and everything can add a couple of metres to the throw. So from that regard, it's not always like completely consistent in terms of where it's going to land. But yeah, you usually end up having your runners hit the front post, really, because I even remember against Germany about 10 years ago now, I'd say Louise scored, you know, front post, I think it was, after a couple of minutes, and Steph Roach scored off the throw-in as well to equalise with a couple of minutes to go. I won't say what happened after the equaliser. We still ended up conceding. But yeah, it's just, you kind of do, I suppose, from the attack and from Ireland's point of view, you know, you'll have an idea. You can keep practising and training against it. Whereas the big issue there is that opposition can't practice, because they can't have someone
can't
throw
it. Yeah. Unless you get one of those machines, you know, that you like.
Yeah, like the tennis ball machines nearly. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure now teams are going to have to look at that.
Probably,
in a way. Like,
fair,
yeah,
they've got everything else.
You know, or get someone in, maybe like a throw-in, or, I don't know, some other sport expert that can throw the ball at a similar kind of capability, because it's hard to.
It's unique.
Yeah, you don't know where to stand or how to kind of defend it when it's coming in at a height, you know.
What's going to happen?
I'm confident. I'm always when I come in here. But no, I think, in fairness, I do think this is definitely the best chance of getting a result, you know, at home to them, where we have, obviously, we already talked about Denise, but otherwise we've pretty much a fully fit squad in comparison to the Swedes, who are down a few players and important players at that. So I think, I'm going to go for a win. Not even a draw. I'm going to go for a win. So hopefully, we'll take a narrow victory.
And even for the likes of Eileen Gleeson, like, she had such a dream start to her managerial career with Ireland. Where do you feel she's at the minute? You would think she really needs this win tonight.
Yeah, I think she's kind of gotten the results maybe that on paper she's expected to get. We've beaten all the lower ranked teams and we've lost against all the higher ranked teams. So from that regard, she's kind of doing as she should be doing maybe. But yeah, tonight would be a big scalp, I think, and it would really bring a lot of confidence going forward as well. And it kind of give, I think, it's going to be a long, 6 games if you weren't to get any kind of results. So I think it would really give a boost and keep pushing us in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then we have the return leg, obviously, on Tuesday as well to look forward to. So we will do that. We'll get this one out of the way first, and then we'll do that. Maeve, thanks a million for coming in.
Cheers, thanks a lot.
Every time we look at Aston Villa, they're just signing a new extension or a new contract with Unai Emery.
I genuinely thought that this was old news. The more times he does it, the better, John.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.